know, sort of don't really connect with nature. I mean, if you just sit in your house and watch cable TV, it's kind of easy to ignore this. But you know, if you just go out in the natural world, you can see these changes happening, and they're happening faster and faster. And you know, it's not theoretical, and it's actually going to affect our lives more and more in the future.
Carl Zimmer, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Carl Zimmer is a columnist for the New York Times.
So we've heard a lot of stories in the program that would have fascinated Charles Darwin. You know, he launched this idea, this scientific idea, and not only has it had a long run, it's been perhaps more powerful than he could have anticipated. It explains a lot of phenomena in the world.
Yeah, and it's also interesting to see the modifications that are occurring. As Carl Zimmer said, bacteria were just spots on a dish somewhere, and now, of course, we can separate them out because we can sequence their genomes. But the really interesting thing there is that, you know, their offspring are not identical to them with a slight bit of modification because they swap genes during their lifetimes. Amazing.
And then all these other stories of evolution, the fiddler crabs with their very heavy claws that they use as weapons.
Heavy-handed, those guys.
That's right. And then just, could you imagine walking on the planet when there were all these other species of hominids walking around as well? I mean, they were different species from you, not the same species, as Bernard Wood explained.
Normally, in the biological sciences, we don't expect the precision or the predictability of theories as you do in physics. But Darwin's theory of evolution, my goodness, it sounds to me like it's always going to be there.
And it sounds like there's a lot more that we'll be learning from evolutionary biology. Well, thanks to a very fit production team, Gary Niederhoff and Barbara Vance.
Also, thanks to financial support from Reno Shulsky David and Sammy David and the NASA Astrobiology Institute. Big Picture Science is produced at the SETI Institute, where researchers investigate the origin and nature of life. And a big thanks also to our listeners.
Your ears have been attuned to Surfeit of the Vitalist. If you want to discover other titles that make you scratch your head or even listen to more shows, we suggest you peruse the Big Picture Science archive on our website, bigpicturescience.org.
And if you're a podcast listener, but you would prefer to replace that with over-the-air radio because it has a better chance to evolve, check out the listing on our website of radio stations that carry the program. And if your local station is not on that list, well, consider letting them know you like the show.
And if you have a comment, a criticism, or a suggestion, well, throw in some praise for leavening, and then email it all to bigpicturescience@seti.org.
You're listening to WHFR.FM. Jay Koronek in the live in the WHFR studios. It's Radiothon 2016 week. We need your pledge of support. Also joining me now for the special live edition of our Tuesday Forum show in the studio with me is our program director, Lynn Gruntz. So welcome, Lynn.
Thank you, Jay.
You're usually here doing an impact show live, in fact, on the second Tuesday of each month. And I just want to tell our listeners before I let you talk further about that and all of the shows we have here, in case it's your first time tuning in to WHFR, yes, it's our Radiothon 2016 Pledge Week. You can pledge at our website, whfr.fm, or you can call us in the studio, and if I'm talking, Lynn will take the phone. And we're definitely going to be playing some segments, too, today of all of the Tuesday Forum shows, just to give you an idea of how hard we work here to give you, you know, special ideas and new ideas in the local area, too. That's what the Tuesday Forum is all about. Today was scheduled to be, as the third Tuesday of the month, Metaphysically Speaking, hosted by Mike Holloway. And I was looking up today, Lynn, what is metaphysical? And oh my gosh, Wikipedia goes on forever, but it answers the big questions. And in fact, the root of it, meta, means beyond or after. So after you consider the physical, there are realms, many people believe, beyond the physical, beyond science. And so that's the whole point of the show, is that Mike Holloway brings in a lot of local practitioners, professionals in their fields. These fields are sometimes referred to by academics as pseudoscience, but it works for them and it works for a lot of their clients in one way or the other, I guess. Some of these things are people that do prophecy, divination, such as tarot cards or palmistry, perhaps. That can help you read the future of a person. People that do various kinds of massage, so there's an alternative medicine, alternative health aspect to metaphysical arts that Mike has guests that on his show to talk about. Let's see, one of them is Reiki. Mm-hmm. Reiki, which is also considered pseudoscience because there's no proof it works, but a lot of people say it works, and there's professionals making money doing it.
I know so it works.
There you go. Yeah.
I've had an experience. Well, I had an experience a couple years ago, and there was a Reiki master who was... we were out in Kellogg Park when I was with WSDP, if I can say another radio station. And one of the high school kids, he said, "Mom, Lynn needs you." And she came over. I could not move. My lower back was, as they say, out. It was not there. And she came over. She put one hand on my shoulder, on my left shoulder. Her other hand, I didn't tell her where I had the pain. Her other hand just went directly to the pain. And she stood there for just a few minutes. We both stood there in the middle of the park with our eyes closed, and she looked at me and said, "Oh my God, I can feel it in my feet." At that point, she had taken away my pain. So whether both of our minds were playing tricks on us, I don't think so. It was real. Mm-hmm. And it was the kind of thing that I had been in pain for a number of days, and it was eased remarkably at that point.
I get into Reiki once a year. In September and October, mm-hmm. when I Reiki the leaves. Mm-hmm. You've heard that joke before.
I have, too many times, yeah.
It's the only one I got. It's the only one I've got about Reiki, anyway. Mike has such interesting guests that talk in detail, and that's what's amazing about having a whole hour, is you can get right down to the details of each of these different areas of the metaphysical arts, and judge for yourself. We're not saying... it should work for you, or you should spend your money on it, but it does work for many people, and it has, in some cases, like tarot cards, have been around since the 1500s in Europe,
yes.
Maybe before. There's various kinds of card games and even divination card games that have existed, but literally the tarot type of deck has only existed for about 600 or 700 years, so that's hardly any evidence it works, right? Actually, it started in the beginning as just a card game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes,
and it's still played, I understand, in some places in Italy and France as a card game. It has nothing to do with divination, but the divination part did begin a couple hundred years ago, and is a big thing. And certainly we can talk about, as an offshoot of Mike's show, and something that WHFR does every year, and we did it just last month, Holistic Fair. And, mm-hmm. of course, Lynn, you and Mike Holloway were the two coordinators of the event. This is mm-hmm. the seventh year?
This was number eight.
Number eight. Mm-hmm. Feels like 10 or 11, but still. And of course, we had a lot of people here from a lot of these different areas that Mike Holloway had guest on his show talking about these different areas. And and we had, I think this year we had at least four or five people doing one kind of divination or another. I think most of them did tarot cards, or they had some alternates too, if you preferred something else. When I sat down, I actually had my first tarot reading this year ever in my life at the Holistic Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And when I sat down, immediately I was told something that they saw in their crystal ball,
mm-hmm.
which they also had on the table,
mm-hmm.
that they said, "I see Alaska." Does that have something to do with you? I mean, it wasn't there for the crystal ball thing, but...
Right.
And I said, "Well, I've been to Alaska."
Okay.
And said, "I see a lot of ice, a lot of glaciers." And I said, "Well, there were glaciers when I was there 20 years ago. Not anymore, hardly any anymore where I was."
Unfortunately.
Yeah. And it was a very interesting thing. Of course, I've read books on various topics that have to do with these pseudoscience areas, because I think it's fascinating. And there are ways that people can read people who sit down. I mean, mm-hmm. where they just have intuition about you and has nothing to do with the cards, or the cards are a sort of jumping off place to interpret things about you. But I learned, I was told things that seemed extremely accurate, but maybe just luck of the game. I mean,
I don't know. I've had one tarot reading, and the same thing happened where the first thing that she took note of was something in the crystal ball. And I was dressed not the way I usually have a little creativity in my attire. And this was a day where I was coming from work, so it was polo shirt, yoga pants, and sensible shoes. No jewelry, nothing, really nothing in the way of self-expression.
No tells necessarily about a profession or something.
Nothing. Yeah. So she said, there's something in the crystal ball. And I said, okay. And she said, I see a cat. And to me, that made perfect sense, even though I wasn't even wearing my cat ring at that point. And she said, I haven't seen a cat in about two to three years in that crystal ball. Does that make sense to you? I said, absolutely, it makes sense. So she picked up something somehow, some way, saw it in the crystal ball, and then, excuse me, went on to the tarot reading, and there were a lot of things I, too, felt that there was no reason she would know these things.
Of course, there's a lot of cat people out there.
Well.
And maybe more women than men, so if you're just playing the odds, I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, we're not here, again, to convince you, but that's what Metaphysically Speaking normally gets into, so definitely tune back in on the third Tuesday of each month from 1 to 2 p.m. Or, and if you didn't know this, this is totally true, all of the Tuesday Forum shows, and there's other types on other Tuesdays, of course, from 1 to 2 o'clock that we do here, are also archived on our website. So if you go to whfr.fm, you can click on a big button, one of three in the middle of the page, where it says talk shows. And then you go either to the Journal, which is my Friday afternoon local Dearborn news and events talk show, or you can go to the Tuesday Forum. And under Tuesday Forum, you can select the date. And as I said, Lynn's shows are on the second Tuesday from 1 to 2. And so you just find the second Tuesday in your calendar if you missed it and go to the website, and the podcast is right there. You can download it or just listen directly from our website. So we like to archive those because we know that maybe Tuesday, maybe right now, 1 to 2 o'clock, you aren't listening, which means you can't hear what I'm saying. But if you catch the podcast.
Till later.
That's right. If you're listening to this show regularly on the podcast, please call in. Mike Holloway usually works on Tuesday at this time. He's working today, so he can't be here. His show is usually pre-recorded. Three out of four of the Tuesday forums are pre-recorded because people have lives and day jobs here. They're all volunteers except myself and two others who are just part-time, paid by the college to help guide and support as best we can. So anyway, metaphysically speaking, I think I gave background on that. Sometimes you might touch on spiritualism too. People that maybe do the seances. I'm not sure. I haven't caught all of his shows, but some people do seances these days. I'm going to give you a sample.
Mike has a variety of people who come in, including people who are purely alternative to things like Western medicine and talk about healing through not just the Reiki, but crystal healing. Chiropractic is considered alternative, although that's becoming more mainstream
in its
view. Nothing's changed in the last thousands of years with regards to it, but it's
much
becoming
more
acceptable. Yeah. Right.
Because it works, and there is some science that and some studies that clearly proves it works for many people, where other approaches don't.
Right, and there are different types of holistic approaches, whether it's essential oils or herbs or that sort of thing, that also heals the body. And the positive about all of that is the fact that every drug you take has a million side effects to it. And the holistic approach generally is a little bit safer. I'm not saying that you might not be, maybe you are allergic to peppermint oil, it's a possibility, and it could cause some problems, but it's way less likely that that's going to happen than when you take some of the beta blockers and some of the other fancy
things.
And
we had some people, too, at the Holistic Fair, and I'm sure Mike has talked to some of the people that specialize in crystals and for healing, crystals for healing. Mm-hmm. I think they're just pretty. I usually buy a whole bunch of them just because they're pretty to look at. You know, they say that rosy quartz really works for romance. I'm still waiting.
Okay.
I got a lot of rosy quartz piled up at home, I'll tell you.
Well, you have to carry them with you.
Oh, you're supposed to carry them with you. And then bop somebody on the head that you like, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, look, here's just a brief segment of the beginning of Mike Holloway's show from last month. So if you're a regular listener, you have heard this, but it'll give us a chance to catch the phone call and talk to you in person. Lynn and I are here live today. This is April the 19th, and instead of metaphysically speaking, we want you to make a pledge to support WHFR and all of our alternative programming, music shows, as well as, of course, our very special Tuesday Forum and WHFR Journal talk shows. So here's a little bit of Mike Holloway's Metaphysically Speaking show from March. You can call us in the studio at 313-845-9676, option one. Okay? And please consider a pledge. We'll tell you about the special incentive prizes we have, too, if you want to call in. They're also available to see as well as to sign up for if you go directly to our website, whfr.fm. So either way, do it now.
For you to choose from, live music and a fascinating roster of speakers will be included in the admission price of the event. As an added bonus, all high school and college students with current identification will be admitted free. Be sure to come join us for this fantastic festival. That's the Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair, Saturday, March 19th at Henry Ford College. Hope to see you there at the fair.
Expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And today I have three very special guests. They're three members of the Body, Mind, Spirit Guide, which is Michigan's largest holistic magazine created to assist people in attaining a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit. So those are three good things, obviously. And the three ladies I have here as my guests, we have Penny Golden on the phone. She's the founder and owner of Body, Mind, Spirit Guide, celebrating 10 years of publishing. And she is now semi-retired and spends time with her loving family and incredible husband, Howard. We also have Melanie Jones, the amazing publisher of the Body, Mind, Spirit Guide, who creates compelling content to connect with the community and help others to live a more incredible life. We also have Courtney Overfield, the executive radio producer for Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, which is an online radio station offering exciting, holistic, spiritual, and metaphysical shows. Hello, ladies. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Now, also, I want to point out that Courtney has been with our Festival of Enlightenment, too, past few years, too. So I want to thank you for doing that. And also, Penny and Melanie have really helped to produce or promote this event. The festival wouldn't be the same without you ladies, and I really appreciate all your help, so thank you very much.
It's our pleasure.
Absolutely our pleasure.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's really an honor to support an event that does so much for the community and then so much, you know, for the radio station there.
Right. Well, Penny, I know that you get tired of me thanking you all the time, but truly, you have really helped. You've been with us since the beginning. This is going to be our 8th Festival of Enlightenment Holistic Fair, and you've been with us every step of the way, and I really can't tell you how much I appreciate that, so thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
Well, now, let's start with the magazine. 10 years, what prompted you to start the magazine, Penny? What really kind of spurred you on to do that?
You know, I think I was just at that point in my life. You know, when you get over 40, you start thinking about what really matters to you rather than just earning a living. And I wrote down everything that I loved, and I was going to pick one thing and create a business with it, but I wasn't able to really pick one thing because I really loved everything on the list. So I decided the magazine was an easy way for me to have all the things I love in my life and continuing to learn and share those with other people, the community.
Mm-hmm. And you've been doing it now for 10 years. Does it ever get kind of tired? I know you're semi-retired. How much do you do on a regular basis with the magazine anymore?
Really, at this point, I'm not doing that much. You know, Courtney and Melanie check in with me, sometimes maybe as a courtesy, because they're both very strong, capable women. And, you know, I'm here when there's connections that need to be made sometimes, but the ladies that you have there have, you know, they've picked up the mantle and they make things happen.
Okay, so that was Mike Holloway's Metaphysically Speaking, a little bit at the beginning from last month, and it was Courtney that we heard, right, Lynn? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that was Penny. That was Penny Golden.
Oh, that was Penny.
Yeah, that was
on the
Penny
phone
Golden.
Line there.
Uh-huh. And she and her husband, Howard, are the two who started that magazine 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, wonderful magazine.
Body, Mind, and Spirit. It's available free in a lot of different venues, bookstores, if there's any bookstores left, and other places of transit in the area. But that's, you know, what he does, and he does it, it's actually the second thing he does for us. He's a blues DJ on Friday afternoons from 4 to 6 p.m. for us, but he got into this just because I was actually asking people if they wanted to do talk shows maybe once a week and see how many different topics. And, well, I'm kind of interested in this area myself. And so he started to do it regularly. And then the idea for having a holistic fair, which is something that does happen in the Detroit area once or twice each year in different places. And we thought, well, there isn't any that really are close to Dearborn. So let's do one here. And it's been one of our major fundraising tools for the last couple of years. And so much fun, very entertaining, whether or not you believe in the effectiveness of some of the aspects of the metaphysical arts that are a part of it or not. It's just really a great event. A lot of wonderful people that we meet every year, and I think we're going to keep that going, and just like the talk shows. But let's go to your talk show, Lynn. Lynn okay. Gruntz is in the studio with us. Again, she's our WHFR program director right now. And Lynn, why don't you tell people what a program director does in case they're not aware of the term?
Okay, we can start there.
Yes.
Program director is a challenging job at the radio station. It is coordination of people and time slots and good programming, good programs. If a program is not good, if a show is not good, it is a volunteer position. However, it's a position you can be relieved of if you don't follow the rules. We have rules from the FCC with regards to language and identifying the station at the top of the hour, that sort of thing. We also have rules that come to us via the school board because we are part of the Dearborn Schools.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a little extra filters, I guess you would say, with regards to language. And language refers to what you speak from your mouth, also what appears in the lyrics when you're playing a song.
Right.
It's not okay for you to say something you shouldn't say. It's not okay for the lyrics in a song to say something. And just because that's not a live person, it's not acceptable. So we have a double standard, or not a double standard, we have two sets of rules that we have to follow. All radio stations, except some of your, you know, like Sirius and that sort of thing are following FCC compliance rules. Mm-hmm. And then we have school board rules. So mm-hmm. there are certain words that you might hear during primetime television that we're not allowed to use here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, you might think, folks, that PD stands for police department. Lynn
does.
Seems to be suggesting that she plays policeman over for our airwaves, and that's part of the job. But in fact, she's the one that is primarily responsible for choosing the good shows to put on the air in the first place and the appropriate volunteers. And mm-hmm. so she goes through a lot of time to work with the volunteers before they get their first show, as well as once they get on the air, too.
Right.
And of course, weekly or criticism when needed comes along, too. That's part of the job. And if necessary to get people's attention, we might have to do some discipline of some sort, like suspending them from the airwaves.
Right.
If necessary. But it's a great learning experience for a lot of the students here at the college who are interested in the telecom area or just music in general. And it's interesting to me that of our 50-plus current volunteers, about a fourth of them, that is about almost 20, have been with us for more than 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And some people have been here almost 20 years,
right,
in fact.
Right.
That's some of our oldest, longest staff member tenures. So it's been it's great fun. We have people of all different backgrounds and all different ages that are part of the station and get on the air. Not all of them have talk shows, of course.
Right.
That's special. That takes, I think it takes a lot of extra effort to do a good job with a talk show in terms of planning. Let's talk about your show, your Tuesday Forum.
One more comment with regards mm-hmm. to the DJs. Two people come to mind, and one was on air and was just a kind of a nervous wreck, and so I was working with this person for comfort and understand how it goes, and I've seen a lot of improvement there. And there's another one who is working at getting a show and has made great strides in figuring out how to do the show, how to find the music, what it means to narrow down some of the music and do a good show.
Yeah, so, learning experience even before you get on the air.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, with regards to Impact.
Tuesday Forum, the Impact Show. By the way, there's another person who's not here with us today, Betty Daniels, who's the host usually on the 4th mm-hmm. Tuesday. But the same concept, and explain the idea of Impact.
Impact is a show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. And this has been really, I kind of wish I could do it every day of the week, because there are so many wonderful groups, wonderful people out there, people who are having fun. I had an antique radio club on a couple months ago, but last week was one of the ones that I was surprised a number of times during the hour. And this was a group that's right on Henry Ford's campus, and it's called the Hawk's Nest. And the Hawk's Nest is actually it's a food pantry for students. And this is the part that I was just dumbfounded when I found out. Not only do we have a need here, it's only been open since January, and 60 people have been helped already. 60 different students have mm-hmm. been helped already. But the people in charge of the Hawk's Nest, are working with other pantries, other college pantries across the nation. And it was just shocking to me to think, you always hear about the humble poor student, blah blah blah, but it's to a point where you either pay for your books, pay your tuition, or you eat. And you have, and there are people making these decisions. And if you're hungry, how well is your brain working? What kind of a student are you really when you're sleepy because you're hungry, mm-hmm. you're cold because you're hungry, and what you really need is food, and you have the college pressure that doesn't end up.
Obviously it's not food for all, or it's not a soup kitchen with meals regularly every day, but it's prepackaged foods, canned foods, boxed foods, mm-hmm. whatever, that can be given to right. students who have at least, I think, one credit hour
yes.
Enrollment here. They have to be a currently enrolled student, and 1 hour is the least you can get.
Yeah.
And so it's just something that began because we want to help out, that's all. If everybody yeah. helped out, not just the problem with hunger, but a lot of our social problems, if everybody did something to help, we wouldn't have any problems, perhaps.
And if I could tie together, that was the April 12th. Impact Show.
Right. Right. I'd like to do a segment, or at least the beginning.
If I can go back just a step.
Sure.
The March Impact Show was a food pantry also that's been around since the 1960s,
mm-hmm.
and that is Helping Hands Food Pantry, which is out of Cherry Hill Presbyterian Church at Cherry Hill and Telegraph. And we partnered with them, we being the Holistic Fair, partnered with them, and it was the first time we tried something like that for the Holistic Fair.
Mm-hmm.
So we worked with a food pantry, and then just as it happened, I interviewed another food pantry the following month, and the person in charge of the Cherry Hill Presbyterian Food Pantry, Helping Hands, was given the same documentation I was given with regards to the Hawk's Nest, and those two are now working together, which I think is really exciting. So you're not just working with the students, you're working with the families. You're working on other things through Helping Hands where you're trying to do something with regards to job help and that sort of thing. So it turned out to be a triple win in all of it. So I was excited. So you have something from Helping Hands or from?
I can do either one.
Okay,
March or April. Hawk's Nest. Let's do Hawk's Nest.
Okay.
From the 12th. It's just last week, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few minutes of this. We are here doing a special live show. And in fact, another of our Tuesday Forum host is going to be here in a few minutes, mm-hmm. Dave Twitchell, who does the We Are Not Alone. We'll be talking about that with him, too. But we are here because it's Radiothon 2016. It is our pledge week. It's the time when you, loyal listener, you got to step up to the plate, baseball metaphor, right? Mm-hmm. Baseball season. Mm-hmm. You have to be there for us once a year. We have costs. Obviously, we have all these volunteers. Almost no cost, okay. But to stay on the air, I was explaining before that satellite service is almost $4,000. Being a subscriber to Public Radio International to get Classical 24 overnight cost about $4,000. And then Classical 24 cost about another $15,000 or so a year. I mentioned royalties for the music we play. It's approaching $5,000 a year for the performance rights and the performer rights. Since we both stream the music and also put it over the air, too. And, of course, there's equipment. In fact, I just had our little supplemental desk lamp here blew up this afternoon, so I've got to get a new desk lamp. Love to have a volunteer bring in one, but nonetheless, we have to provide for our own toner cartridges. We have to for our copy machines and light bulbs. Pretty good, except for the desk lamp. The college has been generous about that. So and then of course equipment. We just had to get all new CD players last year because after 3 or 4 years of constant use, they break. And they can't be fixed easily. It's cheaper to get new ones. But not too many out there. These cost $300 each. And we needed four of them for our two studios. So money has to be spent to keep us going. It's a unique resource here for the community. And if you're beyond our 8 to 10 mile broadcast range, you can always listen from our website or via an app like TuneIn Radio that can just look for local radio or search for WHFR and you can get it that way. So how do you pledge? You want to make the pledge now? Great. It is 313-845-9676, option one right here in the studio, 313-845-9676. Talk to Lynn or myself, Jay Koronick, or go to the website whfr.fm. But please do it right now and get it done. Thank you. Here's that sample from a Lynn show from last week.
It could be a new metaphor for describing something that is exceedingly rare.
Dawn Ballmer, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Don Balmer is an ornithologist at the British Trust for Ornithology.
Surprised we I thought that the campus would step up. I really didn't be surprised. I thought that the campus would step up. I really did. But we are amazed at the number of staff members. We get calls and just emails. So a number of departments just have boxes in their maybe in a select location in their area, and they'll call and say our box is full, and these are just employees who come and fill up the box every week, and we are able to do that. And then we've had other classes and programs that will say we're going to do an actual collection for the Hawk's Nest, and I want Harrison to talk about that first seminar or that workshop where you
yes okay. We had a public service seminar here that was sponsored by the Michigan Democracy Institute by our professor, Dr. Perry and Robert Yarmatter. And out of their classes, about 300 students, they raised a little over 1,500 pounds worth of food and about $200 in monetary donations as well. And I mean, they were coming in with bags of items, and some of them have donated since then, and they're actually going to do another one. So hopefully some of the kids can get extra credit for bringing in donations, and they really just want to keep helping out, seeing how they can help out more. Mm-hmm. So
after just 3 weeks of the Hawk's Nest being open, Harrison's contacted me. We need more shells. We need more shells. And that's a great problem to have, that we were storing food in a, you know, we have a storage closet. And he's like, we need more shells. There's so much food coming in. And that's exactly what we would want, to outgrow that facility at some point.
And a number of community organizations and churches have donated as well and wanted to help out. So that's been we've received donations from those organizations as well. So.
Yeah. How have you publicized this? I saw something I think the first time I saw something, it was in the Mirror, in the Henry Ford paper, and it talked about this new service, mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. And then I received a publication at my house, and the logo's on there and your contact information, hence the phone call from me. Mm-hmm. But what have you done, or have you done anything, or do you plan to do, to reach out to churches or to the Rotary Club, or, you know, some of the service organizations in the area? What are your plans to reach out to get them to step up even a little bit more?
And that's a sample from Lynn Grunst's Impact Show that we do here at WHFR, second Tuesday, and also on the fourth Tuesday, too, with Betty Daniels hosting it. I know Betty, I think, last month did the Detroit Repertory Theater folks, too. So we always have a wide variety. I mean, Lynn said she had two shows, more or less in a row, about pantries and food.
Right, and it was the outside the campus, and then also on campus, which is really kind of exciting and horrifying all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I want to welcome in the studio here during our Radiothon 2016 special edition of Tuesday Forum, Dave Twitchell. So say hello, David.
Hello, David.
Okay, I found your microphone. Good. That was the mic test.
Very good.
Uh-huh.
Hello, Jay.
Yes. And you host on the first Tuesday of each month, We Are Not Alone. I'm certainly not alone in the studio here. And I know we have a lot of listeners out there who want to make a pledge. Yes, they do. In our pledge levels are very meager. I mean, $30 is the first level, and we have a pair of Risky Business sunglasses. So, ooh,
I've seen those. Those are
yes,
neat.
With WHFR logo on the side panels. Those are so cool.
They're kind of Blues Brothers-esque, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ray-Ban
and
look.
And we're getting into that sunny weather now. So, again, you don't need an incentive, you know, if you don't want one. We have a great $89.30 pledge incentive, but I won't go into that now. All of the pictures of our incentive items are on the website, whfr.org. FM. When you click on Radiothon 2016 to donate now, you can look at them that way. But you're listening to all these great talk shows, so you're concerned about issues in our society and local issues on the Tuesday Forum. So Dave Twitchell, as I said, does We Are Not Alone. What do you mean by that title?
Well, exactly what you generally think when you hear that phrase, we are not alone. We are not alone in the universe.
Aha.
Uh-huh. And I found that out for myself firsthand when I was about 14 years old. And I've been seeking the truth ever since, just to try to find out if my family and I were crazy.
So. We're not referring to the Judeo-Christian Godhead.
No, we're talking about the UFO phenomenon.
We're talking about other intelligent civilizations, we hope.
Right.
They have to be pretty intelligent if they, or maybe kind of stupid if they want to visit Earth. But
They're still looking for intelligent life over there.
There's no way to predict what exact. I mean, some people think they have some answers, and I think some of the people who have been on your show, you've been doing We Are Not Alone for how many years with us now?
10 years now.
Okay, and before that, it was actually a local cable TV show for many years.
Yeah, it was a TV show, and that was on for 10 years, too, so I may have reached my crescendo here.
Well, you have an internet presence also in terms of this topic, right? You have your own internet website?
I have my own website, yes. I don't have any show on there, although I do have archived. My radio show from WHFR is archived at my website, but it just refers back to, you know, it's a link
where it can refer back to
WHFR's archives. So.
Yeah. Okay.
You can get the archives either place.
Besides Dave's experience seeing a UFO when he was young, he's also an active member of Michigan MUFON. So tell us a little bit about MUFON.
MUFON was the first organization right after Project Blue Book shut down. A group of people said, you know what, the Air Force is done looking into the UFO phenomenon, but it is worthy of scientific study, so we're going to continue to do so.
And now MUFON is the largest international organization in the world of private investigators who, in fact, are doing scientific investigation to whatever extent, documenting every UFO occurrence, a report that they get as best as possible. And, of course, some of them are just lights in the sky. Some are perhaps landings or traces of landings of craft of one sort or another. Mm-hmm. And some might even be contact with what appears to be creatures.
We just don't know. We can't say, you know, they're from a given planet or they're a certain species of beings, but we can... We say they're unknowns, okay? So most of them, I'm going to say 80 to 85%, are explainable as to, you know...
The cause.
The cause, yeah, the natural...
phenomena of some sort.
But, or conventional aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
But only 1 or 2% are out-and-out hoaxes. And the rest of them are unknowns. Well, you know, what are they? Don't know. But
I wonder what percent these days they're getting reports that turn out to be one of these toy drones.
Yeah,
that or a government drone too. But yeah. I mean, you know, there's something new in the sky, and that's all these drones of various sizes and shapes, and pretty soon it might be Amazon delivering packages
by drone.
Right. And some of those could certainly be questionable or look like some reported UFOs. I mean, they hover, but they make a lot of noise. A lot of UFOs don't make noise at all, which is spooky.
What I would call UFO, what we suspect are extraterrestrial or other dimensional craft, are completely noiseless.
Yeah.
No sound at all. And they will hover, shine a light down, and then zip off back up into space. Well, those aren't drones.
No.
And those aren't conventional aircraft. I mean, they would, if there was a pilot on board that would make a grease spot on the wall, of the pilot. You know what I'm saying?
And people are not aware unless they check out MUFON, which is MUFON.org?
MUFON.com.
.com is the national office.
National, or international,
international,
I should say.
International office,
and,
right.
MI for Michigan, MIMUFON, MUFON, .org. Is Michigan
the state operation?
Is a state operation, yeah.
And last year in Michigan, was it over 300 UFO reports that were investigated?
Yeah. Just in Michigan alone.
And if you assume that 80% are finally after investigation explainable, mm-hmm. Then that's still about 60 out of 300 right. that there's no explanation for them, but they did happen. I mean, there's evidence that they happened in the way that they, and there's no way scientifically, I mean, MUFON is always checking with, like, the airports and, and the Air Force and the police and people that have radar, you know, at airport radar and so on to see if there's any evidence. Sometimes there is, sometimes not. But that 20%, some people have said it's only 10% unknown or 15%, but that amount is still an awful lot of questionable phenomena
and
across the whole
is,
world, but especially in the United States.
Right. The thing is, another interesting statistic is that for every one that is reported, a UFO sighting that is reported, there are 10 others that are not reported because people are afraid, you know.
Some will make fun of them.
They're going to ridicule me. They're going to think I'm crazy, yada, yada. I'm not
going
to do
that. Well, I was going to have, this is a couple of years back, and I'm not going to mention the name, but the fellow for Michigan MUFON who had volunteered to be the training coordinator for our field investigators. I asked him to come on my show, The Journal, on Friday, and he said he wouldn't because he was afraid of being ridiculed at his job, which was, at the time, Ford Motor Company.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
I mean, you know, I haven't given anything away here, but I'm just saying, you think of Ford Motor Company as being a sort of forward-looking company. At least they're doing pretty well in designing automobiles and are getting into mobility things.
He wasn't in the union. He was,
he was maybe
an engineer, as we call him.
Okay.
You know?
Was he a consultant or someone just sort of part-time? Because part-time, you know, they've always got to be doing a great job. Ford hires a lot of people to do R&D and consultancy part-time. So that would make your job position a little bit less certain, too. But
yeah, he may.
So I'm not criticizing Ford very much here, but I'm just saying there's still a certain negative attitude about it, or people make fun of it, even though there's a tremendous popularity still in television shows. And movies,
yeah.
Of course.
Now MUFON has their television show recently started, and it's going to go into another year, as far as I know.
Second season.
Yes. Next season is Hangar One.
Mm-hmm.
Hangar One, and it's on a reputable. Come on, help me. It's on History.
Well, I was trying to remember. I think it's on the History Channel History 2 or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's History 2. Mm-hmm. And so now we're talking a reputable, sci-fi or Comedy Central.
Right, they do it
serious.
Yeah, they do a great job in trying to present the science and also the background of many of these. Reports that are so amazing and amazing in the detail, but also amazing in what actually happened too.
Yeah.
So I think Hangar One is a great production by the premier, professional scientific investigators in the world.
Right.
I'm glad that they finally got that show off and running. I know the second season is supposed to start. I don't currently have a cable connection. I've just got the internet, and I haven't found them. On my Wi-Fi or whatever yet.
We must protest.
Yes.
We must say, come on, get that show on.
I'm just wondering if they have you know, the DVDs out yet. History Channel usually always works out a mass marketing of DVDs, right, like right. they did for Ancient Aliens and so on.
Plug that in, Hangar One. Google that, you know.
I will. I'll follow that up. So who did you have last month? Just like to play, or this month, just a few moments. Well, it'll introduce itself, won't
yeah.
it? Okay, so just let me... As I say, get it queued up here. Why are we doing all this talking today and not having Metaphysically Speaking on? Well, again, this is Jay Koronek, station advisor here, along with Lynn Grunst in the studio and David Twitchell. Both of them are hosts of monthly Tuesday forum shows. And Dave's show for this month was on April the 5th, and I'm going to try to queue that up. You will hear a little bit of what was on before it, and I'm going to try to get it into the meat of the intro in just a second. Here we go. We are not alone.
Nation, like the...
No, I never did hear of anything, you know, after that news article. Yeah, that was where it kind of ended, I guess. So we have no idea what it was, but it was... now, the area was Brooklawn, New Jersey. Now, that is basically within the TCA, Terminal Control Area, of Philadelphia International Airport. So, you know, it... the only planes that were basically allowed in that area. Now, this thing was, I would say this thing was probably about 150, 200 feet above the ground. It was there was a very, very low overcast that night. And, you know, this thing was within the TCA of Philadelphia International. And, you know, of course, as you know, only planes are allowed in the terminal control area, you know, if they're landing or taking off. So, you know, and it's funny because I had a sighting not too far from there on the river down in Westfield, New Jersey, which is approximately only about a mile away. This was back in 2006, August 26, 2006. It was my wife's 50th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And we were attending a fireworks there in Westfield. And there was a lagoon there, and, you know, they had a lot of boats, and they were having a little parade with the boats, before, you know, after that, and they would have the fireworks. A pretty good fireworks display they'd have every year. So, yeah, this was on my wife's birthday, 2006, and we were all sitting there in our lawn chairs there, you know, on the lagoon, which is right there at the Delaware River, which is, you know, basically right down the road from the Philadelphia International Airport and also the Philadelphia Naval Yard.
Okay.
So we were sitting there, and it was getting dark, and you know, we were basically waiting for these fireworks to start, and it was very low overcast. I would say that the clouds were maybe 100, 150 feet above the water there, and darn if this thing didn't peek its body out of the clouds. It had portholes on it. It just kind of, you know, kind of peeked out for about 2 seconds, and then it moved back into the overcast, to the clouds there. And I had one of my friends there. She was looking up in the sky too. Sandy, she saw it.
So that's pretty interesting, isn't it? If you want to hear all of that, of course, just go to our website, whfr.fm, and click on Talk Show button in the center, and then choose Tuesday Forum. And, of course, the first Tuesday of each month, you may have to look at the calendar to pick the right date. But in this case, we were listening to David's show from this month, April 5th. And and Dave Twitchell, the host of We Are Not Alone, the first Tuesday of each month, is right here in the studio with us. Yes, he is. Okay. And I didn't mention also that Dave is an author of several books, too. One you were editor of. I think that was that book number 3 or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
There are 2 nonfiction books, mm-hmm. and then I co-authored a 3rd nonfiction book, and then I wrote a fictional book.
Oh, that's right. The novel, yes.
The novel is the UFO phenomenon from the aliens' point of view.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's try to get into their heads. That's probably going to be a good exercise. but Dave Twitchell does a fantastic job, and as he said, he has for 10 years here, and he's just a mere volunteer, and I say mere because I mean exceptional, along with Lynn and the rest of our staff, that they keep this programming, which is different than other stations in Detroit, that's for sure, but is, we think, special. We think it's equal to or better. It fills the gap of what you don't know and music that you've never heard before, and you want to make a pledge to us. And our number is 313-845-9676. And the website is whfr.fm. This is the only week of the year that we ask for your support, and we do need it. We are probably the lowest budgeted 24/7 metro area radio station in the United States. But we still have to get the minimum amount of money in order to stay on the air. Henry Ford College gives us a small stipend from a student activity fee, not from their general budget. It's sort of like a user fee from students that come to the college. That same fund also goes to support our college newspaper and our theater program, performances, music department too, and of course our sporting events. And the sports teams take most of the money, but that's because they get a lot of people involved. So we just share a small amount there, and that's a nice amount, but we can't survive on that. We do want to continue unique form of media and programming, and please call us at 313-845-9676. Option one, Lynn or Dave will take the phone even while I'm blabbing here, or you can go to the website anytime, but do it now, please, and that is whfr.fm.
And I think we'd like to extend that offer to both humans and aliens.
Aliens are welcome, yes.
Welcome to come in. Yes, and yeah, yes. At that number, 313-845-9676, option number one. Dave's here. I'm here.
Dave's here.
Yeah, Dave will speak to the aliens.
Yeah, we're going to say the aliens.
He'll take the alien calls.
Feel more comfortable with.
I'm sure they
speaking
would.
Speaking to them.
Uh huh. Yeah. He speaks their language. So yeah. Okay. Well, now last, I'm going to talk in just for a couple of minutes here about my show. It's not on Tuesdays. No, it isn't. But as a station advisor, I'm putting my prerogative in here, and we have to fill 5 minutes before the malt shop gets going today with Daddy G. So great songs from the 50s and 60s that you might remember. And if you don't remember that far back, it's a tremendous education, cultural education. And so that's going to be from 2 to 4, but it's going to be the Radiothon edition, so you're going to get more pledge pitches from us until we can make the money that we need. It's that simple, and you can certainly help out tremendously. So what is the WHFR Journal? It is the show that is new every Friday, so that's one reason that I call it the new WHFR Journal. And it deals with local Dearborn area news. It's very local. It's not stuff that you typically will hear on any of the major radio or TV media in Detroit. So I get my sources are from the two Dearborn newspapers that have been publishing for many years, the two weekly ones, Dearborn Press and Guide, Dearborn Times Herald, and also the Arab American News, which I've just started following carefully, and they do a great job of reporting about, the nation, as well as they have community news, too. And they do a real fine job from their local office right here in Dearborn. Also Michigan Radio and special commentators like Jim Hightower and also Jack Lessenberry from Michigan Radio. Here's a little segment from one of the shows that was special that we always do each year, and that is from back in February 26th. It is the queuing up things on the air. Shouldn't happen this way. Okay. And the show is not on the... Yes, there it is. Okay. From February 12th. Here it comes, the new WHFR Journal. It was a public service. It was a complete recording of Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr.'s State of the City Address. everyone. This is Jay Koronik, and this begins our hour of public affairs news about Dearborn and the nearby communities. Our show is called the New WHFR Journal. That was our theme that we borrowed from that CBS TV show a few years ago, and they don't seem to mind. They probably don't know, of course, but the whole idea is we're digging deeper into the news, into the local news, and making comments and stating some opinions that you won't hear anywhere else on the radio dial. And we hope that you'll see that as a public service, especially to stimulate your thinking about what's going on in the world. I'm joined here in the station by our WHFR news director, John Conroy. Hi there, John. How you doing today?
Very well.
Are you the one that brought the sour cream cake donut holes into the station?
I brought those in today, yes.
I don't know why I can't hear you. Let's put your voice on. There was a mic check test. So.
Okay.
So he brought in those donut holes. Those are semi-toxic, aren't they, John, in large quantities?
Well,
well, that might not be the most cutting edge of discussions, but yes, State of the City address was later in that segment. But we're getting close to the magic 2 o'clock hour when we change programs here, and we just wanted to finally give another pitch for your donation. We really need your support. 313-845-9676, option one. I'm now going to talk about the $89.30 pledge. And you say, that's a lot of money. But what we give you for that is a WHFR logo cloth bag, very reinforced, very big shopping type bag. It's got a double reinforced bottom on it and so on. Beautiful WHFR logo on the side. And what you can do with this is if you love music, you love collecting either vinyl, that's 12-inch or 45 RPM records, or CDs. We have a lot of them. Oh, my goodness, the collection that we have. And so with this bag, you can come to our WHFR booth at Dearborn Homecoming, which is the first weekend, Friday through Sunday in August, and fill it up one time. But you can fill it up with an awful lot of CDs and an awful lot of LPs and carry them away for free. And then come back on October the 8th at our annual record show and do it all again from the WHFR collections. So that's a great offer. Again, while supplies last, it's our $89.30 pledge. And somebody asked me, why $89.30? And I'm thinking, yeah, they must be listening on. Yeah, but they must be listening on the website all the time, so that they don't even think about the frequency on the FM dial, I guess. But
or they are aliens,
right? And at the $125 pledge, we don't just give you a T-shirt or something. No, you can buy those T-shirts online from us any time of the year. In fact, we're giving you a WHFR logo double port portable phone charger. It's like a backup battery, but it's about 4x6, a little bit smaller than that. Mm-hmm. Beautiful all metal and engraved with the WHFR logo, and it'll keep your cell phone or your iPad going for at least a couple more hours, maybe more than that. We have some people that have gotten them. The retail value is about $30 for these things, by the way, folks. It's a big capacity support battery, and it's something you want to have with you no matter when. You never know when you might be an emergency and you can't get somewhere to charge up your phone or your computer, laptop, or whatever, and that's at the $125 pledge level. Just if you want it, you know. And we have other things too. As I said, pictures are all on the website, and you can make your choice there, and you can use a Visa, MasterCard, or Discover card, or request that a form be sent to you in the mail. Which, if you call us here in the station, we'll do that too. If you don't want to give us, you don't trust Jay Koronik or Dave Twitchell or Lynn Gruntz, you can just request us to send you the pledge form and the donor completion form in the mail, and send it back with your check or money order, which is the safest way to send it, certainly. As I said, either way, it works. So we're going to go into our next show. It's WHFR Dearborn, and it is time for the
Malt Shop.
And there is a theme song, in fact, that we're going to play. And I'm getting it queued up here. I know I should be thinking ahead.